So, Lori, what prompted your education activism? What made you lift off the ground and write a book, write a blog, get involved?
Well, in 2007, my daughter was in fourth grade, and I was helping out in the classroom. I was just your average parent, just doing what I could to help the teacher. And so I graded a lot of the math. And I saw over the course of a year that the children were not progressing. They were confused. The math homework would come back every single Monday, a dog's breakfast. I mean, it was just a mess. The kids were frustrated. I could see some of them crying over their math. So I started volunteering, sitting in the hallway with them. They were so confused. So I started asking questions. January 2007 was the first time I went to the school board and started asking about math. And the answers I got from the school district just got me more curious, and I wound up where I am now. It wasn't anything I planned.
No. So was it effective? I mean, you know, we're 5.5 years into this, and so what are the wins and what are the losses?
Well, the win, which is the most important win of all, is that some of the parents now understand why their kids don't know any grammar, they don't have basic math skills, they come home frustrated and confused, the money seems to just go, and the kids don't seem to be learning any better. So some of them do understand that now. Some of them have begun to supplement the program, or they pulled their kids out, gone to a different district, or gone to a private program. And in the end, the kids are being helped. And that's the most important part. That's always the most important part. I would say where I have not been able to make a dent, and it certainly has not been from a lack of effort, is with the school district. The school district, if they have budged, they certainly have not told me that.
So what do you attribute the you know, the issues you've raised to? Is it leadership? Is it, you know, declining teacher quality? Is it lack of parental involvement, as many people say? Is it, you know, kids not willing to learn? You know, where's the sweet spot for fixing these problems?
Right. That's an excellent question, because that's the key to everything. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? How do we fix it? Where is the lever that we can move the world with? The district I'm in, and I know that I'm not alone here in Spokane with the situation, the administrators like to blame everybody else. And so we hear that teachers are not as effective as they should be, parents are not as involved, kids are not as motivated. That's all true to some degree, but that's not where the fault in the classroom rests. There are some teachers who could be better. There are parents who could be more involved. And certainly by the time the kids get to high school, they're very unmotivated. But the key, I think, is what happens in the classroom. When you boil everything else away, what happens in the classroom is everything. So you can have an uninvolved parent, and you can have an unmotivated student, but if you have a good curriculum and you have a good learning environment, that student is going to learn. And that's the topic that our administrators never really seem to want to get to.
Recently, Wisconsin, my state, adopted teacher content knowledge standards for elementary school teachers identical to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And of course, Massachusetts adopted theirs in 1998. 58% passed the first year, 98% passed last year. Does Washington have teacher content knowledge standards, and what do you think about that? I mean, is that a lever? What's your thought?
Well, we do sort of have the content standards for teachers. You have to be certificated. You have to go through a teaching program in order to teach in public schools in Washington State. So you have to go through the teacher program. I'm not confident that that's enough, because I've taken a look at the teacher education programs in Washington State, and I've looked at other colleges of education, and the colleges of education do not teach sufficient academic content. It's more, for these teachers who come out, it's more about how they're supposed to teach as opposed to what they're supposed to teach. So when I look at when I look at the idea of testing teachers, if those tests of the teachers are based on the same idea that it's all about pedagogy, how you teach, and not enough actual arithmetic, then the, you know, we don't really know what the teachers know in arithmetic or in grammar.
Right, so form over substance, in other words.
It really is, yes, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, we're familiar with that. So what about your education? You know, looking back on the arc of your life and career, what were the pros and cons of your education, and what would you do different if you were 18 today?
I would have gone to college right away.
Okay.
If I were 18 all over again, I wouldn't have waited until I was 30. Mm-hmm. But I left high school and went to work, and there were many reasons for that. I was educated in Canada, in Alberta, and right now Alberta has a fairly strong education system. Many people don't realize that Canada is very decentralized, or it has been for some time, so that decisions are made at local school levels.
Yeah.
They may be changing that now, but that's how it has been. And so Alberta and Ontario actually do very well among English-speaking communities, you know, provinces, states, countries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the principals and the teachers have control over where the money goes, what they're going to teach, and how they're going to teach it. See, that's quite different from here, where decisions are increasingly being centralized up the system to a point where they're now being made out of D.C. But you asked me about my education. I was educated in Alberta, and I would say that the weakness I had was that the social studies program was not very strong. I didn't come out really clear on the parliamentary government system, for example. However, I was taught mathematics very well. I was taught grammar, I was taught cursive writing. I was taught those basic skills that you need for any field, really.
So if you were to go back, as you said, to 18, you'd go to college right away, but what would you study today, knowing what you know now?
You know, I don't know. 18 is often a difficult time for people, and I had many things going on in my life. I always wanted to be a writer, so that's kind of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I had dreams. I could see me being a scientist. I love science. I love physics. I could see me being a mathematician. You know, I'm pretty good at math. I could see me being many different things. But I think that's a really good question you've asked, too, because let's ask 18-year-olds what they want to be. You know, how many 18-year-olds wind up where they thought they would be at 18? They don't even know where they're going to go lots of times. So you want to keep those doors open for them for as long as you can. You want to give them as many opportunities as you can. And right now, the new trend in education is to say, well, this is where this child's going to go, so let's funnel that child in that direction. And how many doors are you closing for that child when you do that?
So thinking about all your experiences as an activist and parent, you know, what does education mean today in 2012, and what about in 10 years, looking ahead?
Oh boy, well, I would say that education today, it depends on who you're talking to, and that's the same with how effective it is, right? It depends on who
right.
you're talking to and how you define effective. The districts think they're very effective. I think they're not effective. I would say what it means today to the districts, to all the education people, all the layers of government bureaucracy that you have in public education, I would say it's all about the money. It really is all about the money, the levies, the bonds, the simple majorities that they need to get their money.
Yes, it drives every decision, I agree. Yes,
it really does. It's dollars per student. And as I look through public records in Spokane Public Schools, I see that constant refrain, the money, 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 and the needs of the children really seem to be an afterthought. I would like to see that change, but the current trends at the federal, state, and local levels, I don't see the pendulum swinging back to the children.
Mm-hmm. But how about the virtual charters, vouchers? I mean, what's that climate like in your world, and how do you see that playing out the next 10 years?
Well, I'm all for choice. I believe that, as with anything else in our communities, when something isn't working for us, we should be able to leave it. You know, if we don't like a restaurant, we can go to a different restaurant. If that pair of shoes doesn't fit our feet, we can go get a different pair of shoes. And education, which is all about our children, their future, the future of the country, that should be a critical piece where we have choice. I mean, that's everything. And yet there are people who want to slam the door shut and say, it's this public school or nothing. So I'm for choice. I'm for charters in principle and vouchers. Everything that can help parents say, that's not working for me, I need to go do something different. However, it all depends on how those laws are written. Because if you have a charter that is set up so that it simply mirrors what's being done in the public system, you know, with this federal program and the mandates and all of that, you can't just stick charter on the door and expect it to fix everything. It all comes down to what happens in the classroom.
That's right. Then more of a process question. So what kind of process do you recommend for parents to look for schools? You know, if you're moving, let's say you're moving from Spokane to Salt Lake City or Denver or wherever it might be, what process would you go through to think about schools? What, you know, there's tons of data out there. Whether it means anything is hard to say, but, you know, what factors would influence your choices?
Right. Well, I think a lot of the data that you get from the public system is very selectively chosen. So we don't want to just go by that. For example, if you ask Spokane Public Schools how well they're doing, they're going to tell you they're doing great. And they're going to tell you that they've raised the graduation rate. But they're allowing more students to leave, so that's great, but the students are not leaving with the skills they need. So that's a whole different picture of it, right? So I would suggest that you look at it like you're interviewing for childcare. You know, when you went to get a babysitter for your children when they were small, you interviewed people. You asked them questions. And I would always suggest going into this questioning with a partner so that one of you can ask questions and another person can take notes and watch their reaction and see if they're uncomfortable with what you're asking, you know, that sort of thing. I would definitely recommend going in to look at the curriculum, because the public schools tend to be all full of, oh, this is the next greatest thing, it's going to be fabulous and turn everything around, we love this program, it does so great for the kids. But when you actually look at it, it isn't what you want. And I would suggest also that parents trust their instincts. You know, a lot of our public schools say, well, you just like that because that's how you were taught when you were a kid. And they have many different nice ways of saying that, but that's the message. You just like it because you're stuck in the past. But trust your instincts, because, you know, you know what arithmetic looks like. And if it's not in the books, then your children are not going to be taught that. And if the schools don't have books, and a lot of them don't, that's important to know as well.
Interesting. Well, that's what I had. Anything else you'd like to add today, Lori? I appreciate your time very much, and certainly wish you well in your initiatives. It's a long marathon, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a long marathon with no end in sight, but but you have to, as an advocate, you have to redefine what it means to be successful. So if my success depends on the school district all of a sudden coming to their senses and saying, wow, Lori Rogers is right, we've been wrong all this time, we need to change things, then I'm never going to be successful. But if my success depends on reaching out to a few parents and those parents saying, oh, wow, I need to step in here, well, then I have been successful. And so one other thing I'd like to add about parents going to a different city, they can always talk to the people in opposition. I think that's so important to get that other perspective. Look for advocates in that new area and talk to them and see what they have to say.
Great. Well, thanks much. I'm going to stop recording now.